Melissa in the Morning talks with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job. Now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We are in the final part of this five-week series talking about the five mistakes professionals make to kind of ruin their careers or derail their careers, just five of the most common mistakes people make in the workplace. We've talked about moving forward, but not having a direction, keeping your head down and just doing a good job, how that's not really helpful for anybody, having a lack of confidence and how that's really a killer. And last week, talking about failing to answer the question, tell me about yourself appropriately. And today, we round out the five worst things we could do in the workplace with not understanding that every conversation you have while working is an interview. First and foremost, Julie Bauke, welcome back, our career strategist. What do you mean by not understanding every conversation you have while working is an interview? What do you mean by that?
You know, put more simply, this is really not, not managing your reputation. So you're at work. You have your sights set on something different in your company. You want to be promoted. You want to move over here. And we think sometimes when we are, the only time we have to formally interview is when we're actively in a search looking for a new job, usually outside the organization. But you think about when you go into an interview at a company and you are coming in to interview with one person, let's say for an hour. I guarantee you that if you're walking into a building that has a receptionist, if you're interacting with people in the coffee room, if you are being constantly evaluated. I had a situation once when I was in HR where somebody was, quote unquote, dead in the water before they even got into the interview because of how dismissive and rude they were to the other people they encountered prior to the interview. And so everything goes into our reputation and into people's decision whether they want you on their team. So if you are an Eeyore at work, if all you're doing is constant complaining.
Thanks for noticing
about,
me.
Right?
Sorry, I had to.
Work, the boss, about all that stuff. When it comes to a decision about whether to put you in front of a customer, whether to put you on a high-profile project, whether to promote or move you into another role, believe me, that part of your reputation will be a part of the decision-making process, not just how you perform between 9 and 10 a.m. in your formal interview. And people forget this. And it's really, when you really break it down, it's about what do people say about you when you're not in the room? Everything. It's like sort of like social media.
Right.
It's just similar to when a company is looking to hire you. They're going to go out there and they're going to, what are you posting on social media? Are you going to cause problems for us? What kind of person are you? Because you can only tell so much, in a 45-minute Zoom or in-person interview.
Well, and it's sort of like anything, Julie, right? In life, when you're dating somebody, you're going to dress the best, you're going to smell the best, you're going to, do everything that is going to profile you the best of your ability. But then when you find out you're going to move in with that person, all of a sudden everyone and their mom is warning you to make sure you know what you're getting into, and you think to yourself, why? Why are you saying that? And it's because you're going to see every aspect of that person. So, of course this has to matter. Logically, it's interesting. Logically, that makes sense. The way you act around the office, are you a team player? Are you a downer? Do you show up to things? Do you not? Do you contribute when you're in meetings? Do you not? Are you somebody who complains? Like you said, this is a no-brainer. But it's interesting, Julie, why naturally then do people act the way that we're saying you shouldn't? You know what I mean? That's a very common thing for people to just come into work. And when you say, how's your day? Instead of saying, oh, it's fine. How are you? They actually answer the question got up on the wrong side of the bed and my husband drives me crazy. And let me tell you, if my kid looks at me the wrong way, and I think to myself, I shouldn't have asked.
Right. But don't we know so many people who have complete lack of self-awareness?
True.
They really,
I guess,
don't understand how they impact, how they impact the world around them. They don't read the room. They don't pick up cues.
How do you get better at that then? Like, how do you fix that?
It's so hard because, first of all, you have to be willing to take feedback. You have to seek out feedback. You have to listen when people are telling you about the parts of your job that, you know, that may not be just, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. Mm. What are your soft skills? How are you coming across? How are you perceived? What is your reputation? You know, and I think it's so easy sometimes to ignore those things, because to the person who likes to, who their only outlet is coming into work and complaining, frankly, about the things in their lives, and maybe it's because their friends or families don't have, you know, have kind of set the boundaries there. They really, I know some really smart people who absolutely are clueless about their impact on other people or how they come across. It's like we talk about IQ. Well, this is EQ. This is your kind of your emotional awareness.
Intelligence, yeah.
Emotional intelligence. How do you interact with others? Are you a good listener? I mean, to everybody listening right now, if I say to you, think of somebody in your life who's a horrible listener, we all can. Like, immediately.
Right.
Like, the only time they pause is to take a breath. They never ask about you. And, you know, it's exhausting. And so everybody is asking themselves,
am I that person?
Am I that person? How do people respond to me? What kind of feedback do I get? Or do I've got a spot on my team? And unfortunately, with at work, you know way more about your coworkers than you do, you know, Donna, who just applied online. And if you're looking to move about your organization, then that additional knowledge that people have of you because of history and time with you is either going to help you or hurt you. So how can you focus on it helping you?
So we've got Julie Bauke here, our career strategist, and we are wrapping up a 5-week series that I personally have very much enjoyed, the 5 biggest mistakes people make in the workplace and how to avoid them. Number 5 today, not understanding that every conversation you have while working is an interview. And what Julie is saying is, if you think after you've gotten through the interview process, you were offered the job and now you are a full-time employee or you are a regular at your workplace, if you think your attitude and the way you conduct yourself at the workplace does not matter, you are wrong. So Julie Bauke is here to help us. If we have identified, Julie, that maybe some of the things you've talked about, complaining at work or not being involved or whatever, some of the things that you have mentioned this morning, how do you reverse it? And is it possible to make people around you, including your employers, look at you differently?
The first thing you have to do is get really clear. You have to figure out where you're starting from. So how are you perceived at work right now? And there are potentially, depending on where you work, there are a lot of tools for that. And it could be performance appraisals, any sort of feedback you get from colleagues, from customers, from people that report to you, people you report to. What do people come to you for? I think it's a really valuable exercise to figure out how you're perceived by, you know, just really kind of getting outside of yourself and saying, how might my coworkers perceive me and what tools do I have available to figure that out? And sometimes, you know, it's really as simple as saying, what are the things that you come to me for? Asking your colleagues, what are the things that you think I'm really good at? And really be open to hearing that. And so sometimes when you start with the stuff you're good at and you get really clear on that, there's some real self-awareness that goes with, okay, what am I not good at? For instance, I am very clear on what I'm not good at. And how do you learn that? By screwing it up a few times, by asking yourself, you know, what do you tell people to come to you for? What do they come to you for? What did they say? Melissa, I want to talk to you about this because you're so good at seeing through an issue or seeing through an issue to possible solutions. So what do people come to you for? What are you really good at? What do you feel comfortable and powerful doing? And then what are your blind spots? Are there some assessments you can take? Yeah, there's plenty. There's Enneagram, there's Myers-Briggs, there's StrengthsFinders that you can go online and take a really simple assessment to get clear on what those things might be. So like everything good in life, it starts with self-awareness. And then the next question is, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about how you're perceived? I look at the things I'm really good at, the things I'm not so good at. I feel fine about it because I don't have to use those things that I'm not good at very often. And if I do, I'll ask for input from others or ask for help or just say, take a look at this. Did I miss anything? And when you get really powerfully clear, it's so powerful when you get clear on what you are and aren't good at. It's like people, you just start to blossom. And then when you look at, and then there's how am I perceived today? And then how do I want to be perceived? What do I want people to say about me when I'm not in the room? And they are saying something about you when you're not in the room. When you get put on a project team, it's either, oh my God, oh, thank heavens, Melissa's on our team, or, oh God, you know, we're going to have to follow up because Melissa's terrible at details. You know, what are people saying about you? Decide how you want to be perceived and start to tell people around you. You know, I recognize that these are the things I've not been so great at, and I really want to improve. I'm asking for your help. And then you start acting that way. Try seeing yourself outside of what's between your ears. Mm-hmm. And you can do it with practice.
Yeah, that's a really, again, kind of that self-awareness piece. Even if you yourself don't really see it or pick up on it, I mean, something like social cues, for example, you may not realize that you don't have them. But, you know, something that you just pointed out, Julie, when you feel like you're, I don't want to say left out, but when it becomes very clear. So, for example, if there are team meetings that happen and you start to see that you're not included in them, or you're not getting project assignments, or there's not these collaborating efforts, things like that, it becomes very obvious that, okay, either there's something wrong with me or there's something that they don't like about me. And sometimes it may be out of your control completely. But I think in those social settings, when you've got, you know, a group of eight people and, you know, you're the ninth one and you're the only one not there, something should kind of go off in your head that, oh, maybe I should, you know, even just ask, why wasn't I included? Or is there something I'm missing here? So I think it's just that very honest part, vulnerable even, part of saying, I want to keep working here. I love working here, but I feel like I'm missing something. How do I correct it? So yeah, I think that's a big thing, Julie. And I love that you have highlighted this. And again, all the other points during this 5-week series, this has been so helpful. And I do want to let people know we've had every single one of these episodes. They're all up on our podcast site at WICC600.com. And Julie, I thank you so much for diving into these.
If you want to get a full copy, just text Career Happy to 888-241-2385. And then next week, I'm going to be telling you all about our new career launch program for 19 to 25-year-olds that we're getting ready to launch. So you guys are going to be the first ones to hear about it next week.
Cannot wait. I tell you, she keeps us in the loop. You're the best.
Keep you in the loop.
You are the best, Julie Dalkey. Yes.
Right.
Thank you so
okay.
much. Our career strategist here on WICC. What would we do without Julie? Well, we probably wouldn't be very aware of what we do in the office space. That's for sure.